Please open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 16, verses 5 through 24. This morning we will be speaking about the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we will be speaking about the spirit of burning. And these two messages are to lead us into that significant message of tomorrow morning, Christ shall have the preeminence. And I don't know of any greater joy. I will read to you from my Greek Hebrew Bible, but I encourage you to follow through the reading with me. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while, we cannot tell you what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall not weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now the one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit said of the Holy Spirit, He shall glorify me. Now this morning we will be speaking about a very gentle, a very firm, but a very beautiful person called God the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He has always existed from eternity to eternity. He has always been active. And right back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, we read, The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then right through the pages of the Bible, he is active. And then in Revelation 22:17, we read, The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Beloved people, from the time of the dark chaos before creation, the Spirit moved upon the face of the water, and has been moving right through and will keep moving until that great culmination at the end of time when the whole Church of Christ, either here in this world fighting triumphantly or already gathered to be with Jesus Christ. It is then that we will hear those words, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now the principle here is simply this. God the Holy Spirit has always existed from eternity to eternity. Now at this time of the year, Christians should be aware of God the Holy Spirit as the divine agent of God the Father. You see, it was God the Holy Spirit who brought about the conception of the incarnate Son of God as God the Father had instructed. And then in Mark 1, verses 9 through 10, we read, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove, symbolic here, of course, descending upon him. And the principle here is simply this. God, the Holy Spirit, is presented to John, who baptized Christ, like a dove. And those of you who love to study the birds, a dove is always a very loving and a very gentle bird. Now, I think it is fair to say that the greatest words which ever fell from the lips of Christ are found in John 14:16, where he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. And then Christ went on to say, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. Now the Bible clearly teaches that when Christ ascended in bodily form to the Father, that at Pentecost, as we have it in our Bible, he sent in spiritual form the Holy Spirit to be his comforter. And this morning, as I share this with you, that is the most significant truth that is often overlooked. The Holy Spirit is Christ's comforter as well as ours. Now the principle here is simply this. The Holy Spirit continues and develops spiritually what Christ in his flesh initiated in the days of his humanity. Those of you who come to the Friday night Deep of Life teaching will understand what I meant by that statement. You see, the Holy Spirit is continually applying Christ's finished work from Calvary. Moving across to Galatians 5:22, where we read the first statement about God the Holy Spirit. And what is it? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now what does that mean? Firstly, in that statement there was a loving concern for man's welfare. In fact, Genesis 1:2 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, Hebrew scholars, that word move literally means brooding. So here we see God the Holy Spirit brooding over man's welfare. Then in Mark 1:10, at the baptism of Christ, we not only see the Holy Spirit's loving concern for man's welfare, but we see his loving concern for God the Father's will. There is no question that God would have chosen and could have many other symbols to anoint Christ at his baptism, but God chose a dove because its whiteness symbolizes purity and its meekness symbolizes gentleness. In John 14:16, we see that the Holy Spirit then has a loving concern to implement Christ's work. That is, he will take the things of Christ and make them known to us. That is, born of God believers. Now in this implementation of Christ's work, There is a loving self-effacement. You see, the Holy Spirit recognizes that he is hidden and Christ is glorified. Christ said to the Holy Spirit, he shall glorify me. So the key to this truth is simply this. The ministry of God the Holy Spirit is to consummate Christ's work in the soul. Now, God the Holy Spirit has a plan and a purpose for every Christian. And the Bible clearly teaches that God the Holy Spirit broods over frightened and confused humanity. Also in the Bible, there are three universal ways in which God the Holy Spirit desires to work out his purposes for each Christian. Of course, there are many other ways in which God the Holy Spirit works. It can be either occasionally happening or historically or even in a local church. For example, God the Holy Spirit clothed himself upon special individuals in the Old Testament. That is, he would come upon people for special work, and not always people that you and I would have expected him to come upon. Now, secondly, it was God the Holy Spirit who inspired the writers of the Bible. The church just simply recognized their inspiration and recorded the fact of it in getting together what is known as the canon of Scripture. Beloved people, the Holy Spirit was the divine order breathing through human authors. 2 Peter 1:21 says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, thirdly, it is God the Holy Spirit who brings revival. Just as worship is our duty to God and fellowship is our duty to our fellow Christians, so evangelism is our continuing duty to the world. And I want to say to you today on the authority of the Word of God, what you should be doing at this precise moment in time is evangelizing your unsaved loved ones. None of this Jesus meek and mild up. Evangelize them so that they will come to know the Christ of Calvary, the Son of God. And then fourthly, God the Holy Spirit gave special manifestations of his power as recorded in the book of Acts through the Acts of the Apostles. Dr. John Stott, a great Anglican from England, a man whom I've met and admired for many years, he wrote a book on baptism and fullness of the Holy Spirit to offset some of the error in the charismatic movement. And it's a very brilliant book, explaining what happened in the book of Acts, and of course in the early days of the Christian church, and that transition period whilst the church, the body of Christ, was being formed. But as I read that book and as I thought of some of the great truths that John Stott had recorded in that book, I noticed that the Holy Spirit desired to reveal God's truth to us by the Scriptures, as recorded in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 13. Also in 2 Timothy 3:16 we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then there is the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration. You must be born again, said the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus. How are we to be born again? The Bible says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you must be born again. Now, isn't it wonderful how the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our lives to give us new life in Christ and to make Jesus Christ real to us? Then to have this confirmed with the words of Galatians 4:6, which says, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his own Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. I don't know what kind of a spirit you will have tomorrow, but by his eternal, matchless grace, I will have the Spirit of Christ. Will you? You see, the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration, giving new life to you so that you are no longer a sinner, unforgiven. But when you come to Christ, you are a sinner forgiven, washed in Christ's precious blood, and a son remade with the life of God by His Spirit dwelling. Also, the Bible points out very clearly in Romans 8:14 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Then in Romans 8:16, we have a confirmation of this truth where we read, "And the Holy Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Also, 1 John 5:11 and 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Did you know that the Bible teaches that whosoever will may come to Jesus Christ in true repentance by faith, and the Holy Spirit will give eternal life, new life to them? Now, what have we learned so far about the gentleness of God the Holy Spirit? We have learned that God the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's Word. We will call that revelation. Secondly, we have learned that God the Holy Spirit brings about a spiritual new birth, and we will call that regeneration. Did you know that you were born spiritually by the Holy Spirit in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ was born by the Holy Spirit in His humanity? Wouldn't you love to know the truth of that? You come to Friday night classes and you might learn some deep, basic scriptural truths. You see, as Christ took on humanity in His birth, so we take on spirituality in our spiritual birth. But oh my, there is much more. Listen carefully. As spirit-born Christians, we were born from above, and we were born by God's regenerating grace. And Christ then reconciled us abroad. And by the Holy Spirit's power, Christ has formed Himself in us. One great Greek scholar revealed this truth from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. "Let the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be you, the guide who, impelled by His abundant mercy, caused us to be born again so that we have a living hope, made actual because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, giving us an inheritance imperishable and undefiled, and that does not fade away." Now, thirdly, we come to the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification. In Galatians chapter 5, we are bidden to walk in the Spirit, and when we do, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, God does not want you just to have your sins forgiven and then to stumble on through life feeling that you have failed and that your life is helpless and hopeless. God desires to give you at least two great gifts. One, cleansing you by His precious blood. That's a gift. Second gift, victory by His indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, it is the Holy Spirit who regenerates or gives you life in your conversion. And He is the same Holy Spirit who desires to lead you into sanctification. None of us will be perfect this side of glory, but the Bible clearly states that the Christian is to strive day by day in holiness. But because the Holy Spirit is so gentle and loving, He is easily grieved by our hardness and sinfulness. Have you grieved the Holy Spirit today? Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Beloved, please allow me to plead with you to be sensitive to your conscience, because your conscience has been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, walk delicately with Him, and let the gentleness and the holiness of the Holy Spirit ever be touching your thoughts, your attitudes, your relationships, and your life. Why? because the Holy Spirit desires to lead you into sanctification. I'm going to teach you the doctrine of sanctification in the year 1990, should the Lord tarry. Might teach it on Friday night. I can say things on a Friday night that I can't say on a Sunday. Then I look at the scripture again and I see that in a very practical way that if we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit, what must we do? We are to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now this morning, on the authority of the Word of God, I ask you, where do you stand? Where do you stand in regard to your past? Are you pardoned and cleansed by Jesus Christ? Have you come to Him to seek forgiveness? Have you been cleansed in that precious blood? Have you? Do you know what that really means? Then what about your present situation? Are you yielded completely to Jesus Christ? Do you have a daily fresh vision of the cross? Do you? Who and what is the center of your thinking at this time of the year? Then what about your future? What is the main thrust or direction and ambition of your Christian life? Is it to go on and to grow spiritually mature? But remember this, He does not take out all the temptation tendencies which may spoil your life, that is, if you give in to them, but He gives you His Holy Spirit so that you may live victoriously. Yes, in Christ you can find by His Spirit every resource you need, because in our Christianity it is Christ at the center, and Jesus Christ is all sufficient. Beloved, to live in the fullness of God the Holy Spirit is not to be continually conscious of the Holy Spirit, but to be continually yielded and actively obedient to the One who loves you and whom the Holy Spirit is to glorify, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. In my library I have many books of the late Bishop Hanley Morse. Please allow me in closing to quote this great man of God. And this is what he said. This we may know, from the center to the circumference of the life of every Christian, a cleansing, conquering, keeping power of the risen Christ and the gentle, loving Holy Spirit would have it so. Oh, may the gentleness of God the Holy Spirit become a living reality to us all today. Now I want to urge you to come back tonight to hear the counterpart to this message, the Spirit of birth, and then tomorrow morning, the ultimate, Jesus Christ shall have the preeminence. We will sing together a closing hymn, which is number 63. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and to be drawn closer to thee. Draw me near, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.